Just Drew for a Thursday rolls on. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Hashtag TCNT on Twitter if you want to get involved in the program at any time.
We've got Sam is keeping an ear on the National Prayer Breakfast. President Donald Trump is speaking right now, but nothing exciting.
Nothing too exciting.
Not talking anything. All that. Just talking.
Just talking.
All right. Well, if he does anything exciting, you let us know.
I will let you know.
Yeah, because we got somebody exciting on the phone.
Very exciting.
Out of MinPost, can an elected official in Minnesota serve two positions at once? Here to break it all down, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
That was this out of MinPost. That was the central question before the Ramsey District Court Judge John Guthman on Tuesday morning, adding pressure to this particular situation of whether or not Lieutenant Governor Michelle Fischbach, the elected official, can serve two positions at once. Adding pressure to the situation is the fact that the 2018 legislative session convenes on February 20th, just 2 weeks away. Democrats brought the case on behalf of Destiny Dususki, a resident in Fischbach Senate District. The case argues Destiny has a right to representation under the Constitution, but she isn't being represented with Fischbach, who must serve only as lieutenant governor. And we can work through.
By the way, just for the record, the Destiny, she's a partisan hack.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not surprising. And we can work through some of the details here, but have you had a chance to look over what took place in the courtroom? I got a couple of questions here for you, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are right now that it has had one of its first days in court.
Yeah, I did read the story and I was paying attention to it. I mean, my first thought is, why the heck do we have an office of lieutenant governor and have a salary for it? It seems like the office is absolutely useless.
Yep.
Yeah, they even say that in the story.
Yeah, they said, I think it was Judge Guthman, who, by the way, is the same judge that heard the legislature's lawsuit against Dayton. And I thought in that case did a very well-reasoned opinion. And from this story, I think he asked all the right questions. And I hope that some future governor considers him for the Court of Appeals or Supreme Court. So he seems like a really smart guy.
Yeah, before you go on, just real quick to what you were talking about, Kevin Magnuson, Fischbach's attorney. At one point during the hearing, Guthman, the judge, pondered out loud what exactly is the role of Minnesota's lieutenant governor, especially if they don't preside over the Senate and if attorneys can argue someone can do both jobs at once. Fischbach's attorney could only come up with one true role to serve in place of the governor if they can't fulfill their duties. He said they are to inquire daily as to the health of the governor, to which the judge laughed. That'll make you look forward to getting up in the morning.
Yeah, exactly right. That is literally all the office does, is whatever they, you know, I think that when, with our previous lieutenant governor, Tina Smith, I think she occasionally made a cut a ribbon or something, too. With whatever the governor wants, it's a nothing office.
Yeah.
It's an absolute nothing office, and this whole argument that she can't serve in both roles is a joke. I mean, the Judge Guthman brought up the Supreme Court that we've all talked about on the air before, about where it truly says the president of the Senate can serve as lieutenant governor on an interim basis, and the Democrats' only response to this is, well, there was this constitutional amendment. The constitutional amendment took away every single duty of the lieutenant governor's office. So I don't see how the argument is that somehow you overrule this Supreme Court case because the lieutenant governor does less than what the lieutenant governor did at that time.
Do you think that could end up being sort of the crux of where the judge falls on making the decision? Is if the argument is she can't serve in both roles, but one of those roles actually has no
role
prescribed duties, then could it just be as simple as that being what the judge comes down on?
Actually, I think he's going to go a different way. And if you read through it, you know, there was some discussion, remember, from the case with the legislative lawsuit, he originally ruled on the constitutionality of it. And the Supreme Court overturned it by punting and saying, it's a political issue, we don't need to decide it.
Right.
I think he's going to use that reasoning, and I think he's going to say, there's a political solution to this, the court should stay out of it. And, I mean, there is a political solution. You appoint the DFLer to being the president of the Senate under an agreement with the governor, and let them become lieutenant governor. There's no reason to go through this other than partisan shenanigans. So I think he's going to use, judges don't like to be overturned, okay? So I think it probably bothered them a little bit that he had a very well-reasoned opinion in the other case, and they just simply, you know, overturned it for political reasons. I think he's going to use their reasoning against them and say, well, applying that logic, we should just stay out of it.
Yeah, in the story, again, going back to what you mentioned a moment ago, the 1898 Minnesota Supreme Court case in which the justices ruled the Senate president can also serve as lieutenant governor, the case provided the most contentious part of the hour-long hearing. Guthman asked, what authority do I have to overrule a Minnesota Supreme Court decision? It was argued that the ruling became moot after a 1972 amendment to the Constitution that removed most of the legislative duties of the lieutenant governor who previously had presided over the chamber on a regular basis. Times have changed, he said. Guthman then posed that question to Fishbach's attorney. Is that a sea change?
Yeah, I don't see the sea change being that the lieutenant governor has less of a role than they did at the time of that, you know, of that case. I don't see how that argument, how somehow that makes that decision moot, because they do less now.
Yeah,
it'd be easier to do two roles than it was then.
Yeah, Guthman also posed plenty of questions about the role of the third branch of government, the courts, in settling a political dispute, grilled both sides on whether the courts had any place at all in this dispute. In particular, he expressed concern the previous court precedent found only the legislature has the authority to rule on whether a member of either of its chamber is eligible to serve or not. Magnuson said, Fishbach's attorney to the judge, that she should dismiss the case on that grounds, and brought up the court case over legislative funding this summer, saying the court held in that case that the courts need not interfere with the political process if there is a political process that can resolve the issue, he said.
I think he might very well go that way, and just say under precedent, the Supreme Court just recently ruled, we are to stay out of these matters, so we're staying out of these matters.
What's the next step if that does happen?
If he does dismiss the case, then the DFL Act that the plaintiff could appeal to to the Court of Appeals. My guess is Tom Bach is funding all of this. the Court of Appeals, as a matter of right, as long as you get your appeal in by the point of time, you get an appeal, so you go in front of the Court of Appeals, and then depending on how they were to rule, the Supreme Court has the if it were to go, you know, whatever party loses at that level could appeal to the Supreme Court, petition for a review, and the Supreme Court could decide if they want to review. Practically speaking, this case could become moot, depending on the results of the Senate election on Cottage Grove. This fight is happening because if Michelle Fishbach would not be able to serve in both roles, then there'd be a special election for her Senate seat and could possibly tip the balance of power. That's what Tom Bach and the Democrats want. They want to be able to try to flip the Senate over this.
Right.
By having the governor appoint her to a nothing position. So I think that, we'll have to watch and see what happens in the political climate. If this becomes an issue where all we're doing is fighting over whether or not the Republicans have a one or two vote majority, I don't know that they proceed further with the case.
Yeah, and if you ever have any doubts about the political pettiness of our governor, all you got to do is look at this instance. This could have been so easily resolved if he had just gone along with Speaker Dowd, Paul Gazelka. They offered special session, elected president, anybody, president of the Senate, that anybody that Governor Dayton wanted, then that person would ascend to the lieutenant governor's seat when Franken resigned and Smith got appointed. This could have been easily resolved, and Dayton could have had a lieutenant governor of his choosing, but he chose to go this route. He chose to waste our time, taxpayer money, court's time, all of this, just for the slight possibility that he could get a DFL majority in the Senate.
I agree with you to some extent, but I know that one of his requirements for a special session to appoint a replacement president was that he wanted all sides of leadership to agree to it. I mean, he's not going to stand up to Tom Bach. He's just not. And that's the person that was the stalemate on this. They would have gone forward. I think the governor would have gone forward with a special session if his leadership in the Senate would have gone along with it. But at the end of the day, if the governor, he's the governor, right? He's got the bully pulpit. he could have said, you know, we should do this and put some pressure on him, but he didn't.
Jeff O'Brien, before we let you go, just switching gears here for just a moment, just considering your background as lawyer extraordinaire, we've got an article here out of Fox News, and I know I'm kind of coming at us out of the blue, but we were going to talk about it in a moment. Criminal referral is backing up the Nunes dossier claims as Dems push for a rebuttal memo. I'm just curious your thoughts going back to those memos becoming public last Friday, and the means at which they were presented to the FISA court, and sort of the circular reporting that took place. I'd just be curious to sort of get your gut reaction to that FISA memo, just given your background.
I'm obviously concerned about how they went about, if this in fact is true, that this, you know, BS dossier was the basis for FISA warrants. My view is, release everything. Let's see what the basis was for all of this, and find out who's responsible for it. I don't think that it behooves any of us of any party to have our federal government behaving this way, the way it does, behind closed doors like this.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's certainly, at a bare minimum, expose exactly just how thin the arguments need to be and the evidence necessary to go and issue one of these FISA warrants as well, which is being, of course, lost in all of the discussion over the, you know, possibility of Trump and Russia collusion.
Right. Yeah, you know, you saw this, you know, this talk on the Democrat side, particularly about the criticisms of the FBI and, you know, the intelligence community and all of this. It's like, yeah, we've all known for decades the FBI, you know, leadership is not comprised of choir boys. I mean, we have a full-length feature film on J. Edgar Hoover that goes through. The man kept his job through presidential administration by having files of blackmail on all elected officials. So they aren't angels.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a long and sordid history of corruption within the FBI, which I just have to laugh every time I see, you know, an Amy Klobuchar or a Tina Smith or any of these Democratic, you know, elected officials or pundits just sort of fan themselves at, oh my gosh, how dare these Republicans cast aspersions on this noble organization.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the noble organization that you know, I think I don't know how many decades J. Edgar Hoover survived.
But, yeah,
and he's the one we knew about. We don't know about what else got on. I think that's part of the point.
Yeah, this noble organization that tried to convince Martin Luther King to commit suicide.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, real good stuff there. And again, that's not saying that everybody within the FBI is bad, but it's foolish and naive to sit here and think that there aren't bad actors within the FBI.
Right. You get to a certain point with nothing, and you know what? I remember listening, I think about a week or so ago when Howard Root was on. You get to a certain point with some of the in your career with these departments, and you start to see yourself as, you know, kind of judge, jury, and executioner, and that's not good.
Yep. Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure.